ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Today I want to talk to you about the gift of your testimony. Amen? Your testimony. Because it's something that the devil wants to take from you because he knows how powerful it is. Look at the scripture here, Revelation chapter 12, 10 and 11. It says this, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, Satan, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Now listen to this. It says, "And they overcame him." Who's they? Us. "And they overcame him," who? Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb," the blood of Jesus, "and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that as we've worshiped you, as we've praised you, the atmosphere in here is open, our hearts are open to what you would say today. Let the word be planted in our hearts and let it bear an incredible harvest as we go into 2020. We ask for your anointing to preach and pull down strongholds today. And Father, may something be said that alters somebody's destiny this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so Revelations here is, it's a powerful book. There's a lot of wild stuff. I challenge you to read Revelations. A lot of people, you know, kind of push it to the side because there's some crazy stuff in Revelations. You know, there's dragons with three heads and there's the mark of the beast and there's all this stuff. There's war in the heavenlies. There's angels fighting demons and all these different things. It's an incredible book and it's up for a lot of interpretation. So I'm not getting into all of that today. It will make a great Steven Spielberg movie at some point. Someone's got to really make that and nail it down. But today I just want to speak to you about this important text right here that talks about you and I overcoming Satan through the blood of the Lamb. And the second part of this, the word of our testimony. And I want to ask you today, do you have a testimony? And if you have a testimony, do you protect that testimony with your life? Many Christians don't. Because, see, Satan wants your testimony. He wants to take the very thing that you have that proves God's existence to the world. That's what a testimony means. If you look at what the dictionary means, says about a testimony is evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something or someone. That's what a testimony is. A testimony provides evidence of something. And guess what? You and I, we are God's evidence to the world that he exists. You're his evidence. As I look around this room, I see evidence that God exists. Because I knew some of y'all before you came to Christ. Smile at me now, come on. I knew where you were at. I knew what you was doing. And here you are today in church. Here you are today, married somebody that you could not get on your own and you know it. had to be God for you to pull her in. Come on, somebody, smile at me. Had to be God that you got a man that good. You don't deserve a man that good. And you know you don't. But you got one. Evidence. It's proof. It's a testimony that you're not who you used to be. You're not on the block no more. You're not at the bar no more. You're not sleeping with a bunch of people no more. You're not making babies all over town no more. You're in church. And you got one woman. One man. And you got one that you couldn't have got on your own. That's a testimony. You got a job, and it's a good job. And you don't have to go do licks anymore. You don't have to go do dirt anymore. You don't have to lie and cheat anymore. Come on, who's in here today? That's a testimony. And what that testimony will do, God will use that as a sign to point others towards him. Now think about a sign. Think about how powerful a sign is. When you're driving down the street and you don't know where to go, but you see a sign. And the sign says, turn left, hospital this way. Boom, you can get there. Hey, but let's take away all the signs in the city. See how confused people will be. See how hard it will be to get from point A to point B. See, this is what Satan does. Let me just go in and mess up all the signs that God has set up to point people towards God. And so what is he coming for? Listen to me now. He's coming for your testimony. And we sometimes are so messed up in our thinking. We're so backwards because we don't read the Bible. We just listen to this and that. And we get our news from social media. We get our ideas from the public. We're so messed up, we don't even know what's up and what's down, what's right and what's wrong. And I'm telling you, this is why we got to get back into the Word. Man, make 2020 the year you read the Bible. You're making the resolutions? Hey, read the Bible. Get understanding of the Bible. Come to church. Why? Because you need to understand these things. Because right now, see, what Satan is after, he's after your testimony. What Satan's trying to do is make you like everybody else that don't have God. And you know what the church is doing? We're falling right into it. Churches all over America trying to be like the world is. Christian people afraid to stand out. Afraid to be different. Come on, you're different. We're different. The Bible says this, you and I are a peculiar people. We ain't like nobody else. The world ain't seen nothing like us. But yet, we fear rejection. We would rather have the praises of men than the praises of heaven. We would rather please people than please God. And so we do everything we can to look like the world, to be like the world. And I'm sorry, folks, we've got to wake up. We got to wake up. Because, see, you are a sign to others how to find God. It says here, you overcome the enemy by what Jesus did, shed his blood. And the second part, get ready, the second part, you overcome the enemy because of your testimony, because of your life. You are evidence that proves God's existence. That's how you're going to overcome. But guess what people are doing right now in 2019? They are messing up their testimonies. Heck, they don't even cherish their testimony. We hide under weak things and weak words and erroneous teaching that says, well, you know, I'm forgiven. Well, you know, if I mess up, I'm covered by the grace of God. Yes, you are. But that doesn't mean you go ahead and do wrong anyways. Can I get an amen on this? Amen. Let me help you. Let me help you see this. See, I love my sons and I love my daughter. And there is nothing that they could ever do that will cause me to not love them. But what kind of sons and daughters would they be knowing that and go and rip me off and steal money from me and do terrible things to me. And they go, well, you know, he's going to love me anyway. Yet we have people in the house of God that act like that. Don't want to change nothing. Well, you know, we got grace. You know, I'm covered by his grace. Yes, you're covered by his grace, but the grace is for our mistakes. It's for when we blow it, not by choice, but by mistakes. In a weak moment. And we all have weak moments. Can I get an amen on that? Some of you had a weak moment while you were shopping for Christmas presents. About to slap somebody over the register. I saw you, Fox 40. You know, we have weak moments. We have weak moments. And when the weak moments comes, the grace is there. But when you got somebody that is crying grace, grace, and they don't repent from their sins, they don't change nothing about their life, I question the evidence that you provide that God's in your life. I question it. Because your testimony should point me to Jesus. Your story, who you are, how you act, what you say, where you go, who you hang with, that's your testimony. And that testimony is what you're going to overcome the enemy with. Most people, they don't take care of their testimony. Their testimony is this. Well, God got me. I mess up all the time. And, you know, so here's what we do. We go to church, but we still sleep around. And I'm forgiven. That's grace. Listen, you need to come up into sonship, and you need to have some regret when you make mistakes. Because if you don't have any regrets about the life you're living and you don't want to change, where's the evidence that you've even been saved? You know what the worst thing about being deceived is? You don't know it. And if I could help some people here today, some of you are deceived into thinking that you are walking with God and you are not, because there is no proof. What is your proof? Your testimony. How you live, how you walk. Listen, when you're serving God, there are things that gotta leave. Yes. There are activities that you don't do no more. There are places you don't go no more. Oh, Pastor, it's hard. It is hard. This thing ain't for weak folks. Do you think it was easy for Jesus to go on the cross and get spit on by folks he could have snapped his fingers and wiped out? You think it was easy for him to get betrayed by somebody he poured his very life into for 3 years, treated him like a son, to only be sold out for a kiss and some silver? It was hard. Guess what? It's hard for us sometimes to protect our testimony. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's going to get hard. It's going to get hard, but you got to protect that testimony, because it's that testimony that helps you overcome Satan. Yes. Tired of seeing believers still plagued by the devil. All up in your house. All up in your house, and you know it. Strife. Arguing, fighting. Ain't nobody happy in your family. And you come to church. If people were to spend a week with your family, would your family point them to God? Or would being around your family just be like, dang, these some crazy folks in here. I didn't know Filipinos was this crazy. Man, I didn't know Mexicans were this out their mind. Man. You know what I'm saying? Would it just be that that's what it points to? Or would being around your family testify there is a God? Because these people are too cool. Man, I want to be with them. I want what they got. I want to be around what they have. I remember when I moved to Florida, man. I've talked about it a lot. When I went from California to Florida, I didn't know anybody. But these pastors took me in, and they fathered me. They mothered me in the spirit. And I remember being around them. It made me want to be more like them, because God was in them. I ask you today, would that be the result of people being around you? Or would they come to this conclusion? There's no difference between you and me, except You go to church on Sundays. Big whoop. Oh, the difference between you and me is you write a check to the church and you go there and you try not to sin. You don't succeed, but you try. Folks, it's not the way this is supposed to be. God died on a cross for you to have a testimony. But guess what? It's up to you to protect that testimony. It's up to you to take a stance and understand this. People are watching. People are always watching. This is why some of our kids don't want to serve God after they turn 18. Because nothing they saw in their entire life from mommy and daddy was genuine. Now, please, I'm not trying to condemn anybody because it's not everybody. But a lot of times, that's what it is. A lot of times. Not all the time, but a lot of times. Why? Because we don't take the time to understand this. People are watching. Always watching. And they're watching single people, how you conduct yourself as a single person. And you think they don't know. But let me tell you something. Mr. Right is watching you. And he knows how you are on the tuck. He knows. Mrs. Wright is watching. And you know what she's learning? She can't trust you. People are always watching. Our kids are watching. People are watching on your job. And you say, well, who? So what? So what? Can I tell you something? Why it's a big deal? Because you are all God has to pull somebody's life out of hell. You're it. You're it. He wanted to reach your office, so guess what he does? He plants you. And he's counting on you to be a sign. But you won't. But you won't. Nobody in your office even knows you're a Christian. He wants to reach a neighborhood. He puts you there to be a sign. And the only sign you are is a sign of a person that don't cut their lawn. Talking about I'm a Christian. Don't wash your car. My car's thrashed right now. These are the things we've got to start looking at. We're going to be, you're a sign. There's a responsibility in your life to be a sign to others. Why? Because it's going to help them. And here's the second part. It's good for you because you cannot overcome the enemy without a testimony. Because understand this, if you can't command your own life, don't expect your command to affect anything in darkness. Why should Satan listen to you when you don't listen to you? You don't listen to yourself. You know where you should be on Sunday. You know it. Hey, I don't preach on this a lot because we all know I should be coming to church. Tell your neighbor, I need to be in church every week. We know that. Some of us have an ability to make that happen. Why? It's called having a command in your life, right? Like, I know what I got to do, and I'm going to do it, all right? But then there's others of us, you can't even command your Sunday morning. And you want to stand up and tell demons and tell a generational curse over your life to leave you alone? Guys, it starts with your own life. Command your life and everything else around that will follow. Amen? Amen? Command that thing. Your testimony, understand this, bears witness to what you believe. What is your, the way you live bears witness to what you believe. Not what you say, but what you live. This is why the world laughs at the church. Because we say one thing, we do another. It's not about what you say, it's about what you do. Your testimony bears witness to what you believe. Single people, would I find out what you believe by watching you? What do you testify to the Lord that you believe? Nobody else may know because you look good in church, but what people don't know is you go home and you sleep with your boyfriend who has never put a ring on it. Nobody will ever know that, but you know somebody that does know that? God. And you know what that testifies of? The testimony of that kind of life is you do not trust the Lord to bring you somebody worthy. So you got to give yourself away to keep that fool. That's what that life testifies of. Is this too real on a Sunday morning? Can I have a daddy talk with you today? You know, you just want to hear some nice, well, it's the new year, 2020. And you want to hear, it's, what's the vision of 2020? It's 2020 vision. Real creative. Real creative. I heard a prophet talking online. I was like, come on, dude, you got to go deeper than that. 2020 vision, duh. Give me something else, okay? You want me to go there? Or can I really help somebody today? See, you got to understand that even though nobody knows about it, your life is speaking and it's testifying. It's testifying. Single guys, you're still trying to come into church like it's the club. Trying to sleep with girls in the church and doing it. What is that? You know what that testifies of? You don't take God serious. And understand this, the Bible says God will not be mocked. He won't. So when you get what you get, don't come crying to me. When you treat people that way, you're sowing seed. And when you sow something, you're going to reap a harvest. When that harvest comes, don't go on Facebook crying about it. Oh, you sowed that. You did that. Can I get an amen on this today? Amen. You're testifying that you don't believe his word. Right. I was single for 8 years, didn't go on a single date when I was in my 20s. Went all the way to 20, I went all through my 20s without dating a single person. And let me just say that was by choice. I wasn't tore up or nothing like that. It was by choice. I got to put that out there, you know, because, oh, dang, Pastor, you must have been jacked up back then. Now listen, by choice, because I was building my testimony. Because before I served God, I slept around. So what was my testimony? I found Jesus. I don't do that no more. So I started building my life, listen, to protect my testimony. Building my life, not just going, oh, I'm strong. No, I built my life. Here's what I knew in the back of my head. If you give me a minute, I'll mess this up. Satan, if I leave an open door, I'm going to mess this up. Some of y'all don't do that. You trust yourself way too much. I remember 22 years old, I became a pastor. Still young, hormones raging. I was single, didn't have a girlfriend, didn't have a wife. And you know, being in church, being a single pastor, there was a bullseye there. And so I knew, okay, this is going to be tough. And so when I became the pastor, my pastor moved away. It was just me. And I thought, man, I need to get a roommate. And I need to get a roommate that could keep me accountable. Yeah. And I remember I was down south at a Bible school with my pastor there. And that's where I was talking to Pastor Kirk Nualo, who pastors in Trinidad, and Hosea. And I said to these guys, I said, listen, I want to offer you an internship. I don't have any money. I can't pay you. I can't give you a position, make you a pastor. But if you'll come and help me build this church, we'll just believe God together. But you know what I was thinking in the back of my mind? I need somebody in my house that I respect, that has an anointing, that's not going to let me fall. That's not going to let me go and put myself in a bad position where I'm going to slip up and sleep with somebody. And so they said, I'm down, let's go. So they thought they were coming to help me serve, but guess what? I later on told them, you're helping keep me holy. I'm building my testimony. See, you got to build it, y'all. You got to build it. And so I plan to put other pieces in here. So I said to myself, well, it is time for me to date. I'm not dating anybody that my pastor won't sign off on. I'm not dating anybody that these guys that are my friends can't sign off on. Because if you leave it up to me, I'm going to mess it up. And I'm building my testimony. That's what it takes. But we don't want to do that anymore because we just want to go, well, if I blow it, there's grace. Yeah, grace covers the sin, but there's still consequences. Grace will grant you forgiveness to go on, but it opens the door to consequences. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is your testimony is worth protecting. It's a gift. It bears witness to what you believe. And I could tell what you believe by how you live. By how you live. Your life and the way you live is proof and evidence of the existence of God in your life. It's proof. It's evidence. So start protecting it. Start removing things that are going to pull you out of having a good testimony. Amen? Amen. This is good preaching. This is helping somebody. If you know you got a weakness towards women, stay away from them. Write that down, somebody. If you know you got a weakness towards dudes, towards guys, quit posting stuff on Facebook. Were you just posing, booty out, all that? What you doing? What you doing? You know if the right dude comes and says the right things and looks the right way, you're going to go down that path. So guess what? Avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid it. Why? Because your testimony's at stake. Your testimony's at stake. And remember, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Can I get a good strong amen on this? This better preaching than you're letting on. There's something on this that's going to help you in 2020. Listen to this. Your testimony is power and gives you power to overcome the enemy. You'll never win battles out here till you win battles in here. It ain't ever going to happen, baby. It's never going to happen. Until you can learn to dominate your flesh. Learn to say no to sin. As long as you keep saying yes to it, you don't have any power over the enemy. And that's why many of us in this room don't have any power over the enemy. And a life without power over the enemy is a life of lack and limitations. Are you tracking with me today? So your testimony gives you power. And that power is what will fuel your life to be better than you could ever dream. But that's not all. That's not all. The power that you have in your life, catch this now, can be passed down to the next generation. Mom, Dad, there's more at stake than just you. We are so selfish. We live our lives like it's just about us. But everything you do affects your kids. Everything you do, especially, listen now, your testimony. Your testimony tells a child who he is. Your testimony will tell a child who he really is. When a child says, yeah, that's my mom, there's either going to become great pride or there's going to come shame. And some of us in this room have felt that before. When somebody says, yeah, that's my dad, they're either going to have great pride and know that they could take on the world, or they're going to be full of shame and failure, and it's going to take a lot for them to overcome that identity because they wanted to have fun in their 20s, in their 30s, and God help you, in your 40s. Really? You still going to the club in your 40s? Really? Someone told me the other day, them 40s clubs are pitiful. I believe it. I believe it. Ain't nothing getting lit in an over 40s club. And if it is getting lit, you don't want it lit. Go to bed. Go to get some rest. But it's your testimony. It's your testimony. And let me just tell you this, guys. You could do it. You could do it. You don't have to keep smoking weed. You could do it. You don't have to keep drinking and making excuses and just coming up into church all beat up like, well, at least I'm here. God, clean me up again. You could do it, but you got to do the hard stuff. And you got to understand what the enemy's really after. He's making a fool out of some of you. Because you ain't got no testimony. You ain't got no testimony. Because everybody knows you're whack. You preach Jesus on social media and then you live another way. Quit that. Just quit it. You know, in the book of Revelations, God says this, I want you either hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, you make me sick. It's a literal translation. I will throw you up. It's literal. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. All right. Okay. 1 Peter 2:11. Let me help you with this. And then I want to have those helpers come. If you guys could come sit over here on the front row. I have three people that are going to help me this morning with something here. But look at 1 Peter 2:11 through 13. If you guys could just scoot over right there and give them some room there. 1 Peter 2:11 through 13 says this. My divinely loved friends, since you are resident aliens and foreigners in this world, I appeal to you. Listen to this. This is in the Passion Translation. I appeal to you. Divorce yourselves from the evil desires that wage war within you. Divorce yourself. Divorce yourself. Cut it off. Close the door. Hit the bricks. Separate from the evil desires. Y'all see that? Let's keep going. Live honorable lives as you mix with unbelievers, even though they accuse you of being evildoers. For they will see your beautiful works and have a reason to glorify God. In order to honor the Lord, you must, listen now, respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler. What is the scripture talking about? It's talking about living right, folks. Live right. Live right. This church is here to help teach you how to live right. The reason we have a group called Propel is so we can give you tools so you can live right. Reason we have Kingsmen is so we can teach men how to overcome our desires and give them tools to live right. That's why we do this. Are you guys tracking with what I'm trying to say to you? You got a place of value on living right. And let's deal with this. Most of us are like, nah, I'm cool. I got this. You don't got this. Because the test is coming. The test is coming. It's like single people. I'm picking on singles a little bit today, but let me help single people a little bit today. Single people, you know, I've been single and I'm living for God and, you know, I'm good. Until somebody comes. And now you got to make a decision. They look good. They got a good job, but they don't serve God. What you going to do? You know what I see over and over again? People succumbing to the temptation. Well, he goes to church. Guess what you just did? You threw out your testimony and you flunked the test. Now you will have to live with the results of that test. But when you're able to set a standard, listen, my wife had to meet a standard when she married me, and I had to meet a standard in her life. We had a standard. I had a standard. Before I put a ring on that, my pastors, people around me had to sign off on that. There's a standard. The test is coming. Amen? Yes. Tell your neighbor the test is coming. And the reason it's coming is because it's not just about you, y'all. It's not just about you. You say you love your kids, pay the price, and be a testimony for your kids. Listen, and if you, listen, and here's the beautiful thing about Jesus, you're never too far gone. Yeah, but Pastor, I've already messed up so much. Let your testimony be this. Yeah, that's my mom. She turned it around. She had a tough upbringing, but she turned it around, and I love her for it. I love her for it. She's my strength. She's my rock because she overcame. See, it ain't never too late. That could be the story starting today. Starting today, as we're ending this year, let that be your testimony. Maybe you came in here and you're like, dang, Pastor's really, he's really hitting me. That's all right. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. And the testimony will be, yeah, that's my dad. In 2020, he turned it around. He struggled a long time, but he turned it around. Because it's not just about you. It's about your kids. I asked three people to help me, and they're going to come from three different points of view. And one of them is writing to their future husband. Another one, the other two are writing to their children in the future. And I'm going to have Emily come and start us off with a letter to her future husband. And then I'm just going to have Cece come up and then Jesse.
Dear future husband, I've wondered what you're like. I want to know what's your name and what are your dreams. I wonder where you are, and I'm curious to learn more about you. I can't wait to pour pranks on you and make you laugh at my lame jokes. I wonder how we will meet and the way we will fall in love and the way I will realize that you are finally the one for me. And waiting for you was not the easiest. There were many times I wish you were by my side. And as I see my friends date and marry, I would rejoice with them, but couldn't help to wonder when you would come. It wasn't always easy turning away men who I knew weren't the one. And trust me, there were many. But more than anything, more than trying to take matters into my hands, I wanted to follow God's will for my life. I had to learn the waiting period is a season to cultivate who I am in Christ. It is a time for preparation for you. So I can proudly say, I know how to boil water at the right temperature. I am excited to have dates in the park and make boiled eggs and hot dogs. Oh, the happiness in my heart. But if I can be honest with you, right now I need you to pray for me. Because most days I'm good and most days I'm not. God heals in layers, and this dark season has a tight grip on me. Past trauma haunts and torments me with shame. Shame to believe you will ever love me. Shame to believe your parents and family will ever accept me. Shame to believe that once you find out what I've been through, that you would still want me. So to my future husband, I need you to be my encourager. I need you to encourage me, to point me towards God's presence, because I even have been afraid to deal with the pain and brokenness my parents left behind. I need you to extend me grace when I deal with anger and rejection. But most importantly, I need you. I need you to love Jesus. Because only then will you truly know how to love me. I will continue to wait for you. But please, don't get it confused. God is my first love. God has and always will bring me healing and has never failed me yet. God has been faithful even when I pushed him away. He forgives me and with arms wide open and comforts me with peace and joy. God extends me grace to do the hard things in life. God's unfailing love will always remind me who I am in Christ and my ultimate purpose to love God and lift others. God is my first love. And in order to win my heart, Jesus has to have yours. I pray that when it is our time, we will always serve Jesus. Because it's not about finding the one, but glorifying the one who came and died for me. It's about building a legacy to always be about God's kingdom. It's about the lives people reach in the name of Jesus and the demons that will run when we pray together. It's about the roster we will add to our dynasty and continue to build a legacy to serve God. And this sacrifice is well worth the wait. Dear Isaac, my sunshine, I want to start by telling you how much I love you, and being your mommy has been the greatest blessing from God. You are living proof how amazing He is, and He knew how much we needed to do life together. Even by choosing your name, I should have known how perfect it would fit you. Your name means laughter, and it's brought so much joy and happiness into our lives since you were born. Although it wasn't an ideal situation or worked out the way I thought it would, I knew it worked out the best it could have. Your dad and I were young, and we were just trying to figure out life. I was trying to figure out who I was, and I had yet to learn how to love and value myself. I want you to understand that, how much you are loved, and that you don't need validation from man or girl to know how valuable you are. I've struggled with that almost my whole life until I came to Jesus. Even then, it took a journey and lots of self-discovery to realize my identity in Christ. I want you to know that I never regretted you. When I found out I was having a son, I realized that I couldn't raise you in a toxic home. And even though I so badly wanted my family, I had to make a choice. Being a single mom all these years has been far from easy, but I know that God had more in store. I took a leap of faith, and God's been taking care of us. Times I worked over 60 hours a week, studied for my real estate license, managed multiple jobs, all while raising you and serving God, could only have been done with the relationship I have with him, reading his word and hearing his voice. In times of weakness and feeling like I wasn't good enough, I just had to take a look at you and be reminded of his word and why I do it all. I know you never got to experience mommy and daddy together, and I'm sorry to have repeated that cycle, but I promise it's okay. Just like you, I didn't get that either. I know how confusing it gets, and to wonder what if, and to see your dad with someone else. But as you get older, you'll understand that not all relationships work out. Plus, also like you, God still looked out and blessed us with bonus moms that care and love us too. Don't see it as being split in the middle or having to choose sides, but look at it as double portion, double parties, and of course, double the love. I wish I could have seen it that way a long time ago. Please don't ever feel like you have to choose sides. It'll cause you stress and worry, but I fought that Goliath and I broke that chain. Yes. I worked so hard to have a better co-parenting with your dad than what I experienced. And I learned more about God's grace and how much He gave it to me. I learned how to give that same grace to others, even those that hurt us. Don't be scared, don't worry. God's created you with such a big heart, and don't be afraid to share love and joy, because that's the man God has created you to be. You are a leader. In life, you will face some obstacles, go through seasons of confusion, but I'm telling you, with God and faith, you can do anything you are called to. You are stronger than you think,
And when times of darkness come, pray. When you're worried about mommy and why she's by herself, believe that mom is not alone, and neither are you. Understand that with life comes sacrifice, and sometimes we have to work longer hours, pick up extra jobs, lose sleep, and do things that are hard or don't make sense. But it's okay to say no to the world. It has nothing better to offer than what God has for you. You'll be tempted to give up, cry to yourself, and be conflicted in life decisions. But what you do now prepares you for where God is taking you. My son, I'm sorry for ever hurting your feelings, yelling at you, getting impatient, and crying because I didn't know what I was doing. I've learned as I've gone. By grace and faith, I've made it this far. And as much as I want to protect you from any hurt or harm, no one is perfect and life happens. You'll be let down, but don't let that define who you are. I promise to teach you to love, to know, and to serve God. Know him by reading his word. Get to know him and build a relationship with him. He knows all things, like your desires and the plans for you. Have faith by believing what cannot be seen and trusting in your greater purpose. Don't be afraid seeking counsel, and you're surrounded by so many men of God that you can go to for advice. You don't have to face your battles alone. I also want you to know that there is nothing you can do to change the unconditional love I have for you, and that's the same with God for all of his children. I want you to follow your dreams. Nothing is impossible. You have such a spirit of light, and God's calling you to the nations. He called mommy to pave the way, and your turn is coming. All you have to do is say yes and believe in your heart. Your light will be shined all over the world. Keep dancing, making people smile, and giving the best squishy hugs. You're so special, and I can't wait to see all that you accomplish. Even though you can't physically look up to me, I promise to always make an example of a godly woman to look up to. I promise to show you what happens with hard work and dedication. Like when we got our first place in January 2020. And I promise to show you how to treat a woman. You got this, Isaac. Mommy loves you, and God loves us.
Dear Josiah, I'm going to be very honest with you, and I hope you don't lose respect for me. But it's more important that you know the truth. I've had to overcome some things that I pray you never encounter. Actually, my whole desire for you is that you never have to experience them. For a long time, I felt alone in this world, out of place, and like life was against me. I felt like my life was meant to suffer, and no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't have what I wanted. And so no matter how happy I got, I always wound up depressed, fearing that what I did have would be taken from me. I had no vision, and because of that, I lived reckless and only cared about myself. There was never really one group of people that I related to, and because of that, I wandered, trying to find my place. I made mistakes, son, some of which hurt people and caused a lot of pain. I was addicted. I was angry. I was depressed. And deep down inside, I was fragile. I tried to cover it up. Don't cover it up, son. Because my father left me, I lived with a constant feeling of abandonment. Why wasn't I good enough? What was wrong with me? Did I not deserve to be loved? These questions resulted in me hardening my heart and chasing after things to fulfill me, all while deep inside being a fragile little boy. What I want you to know is that the world is going to try to lie to you. They'll try to tell you that you don't need God, You just need to take care of yourself. I came to a point where I needed to know the truth. I was tired of dealing with brokenness and trying to cover it up myself. I began to ask if God was real, and if he was, I was trying to find him. The thing about God is that when he's invited, he always shows up. After a week and a half of praying, I had a dream in which I seen Jesus. I really saw him, son. I woke up from that dream, tears in my eyes. I got down on my knees and accepted Jesus into my life at that moment. From that point on, he began to walk with me, teach me, heal me, and show me the power of his word. He began to heal my heart and remove the wall of protection that I spent my life building. He began to show me that my sensitivity was a blessing and not a curse, that he loved to hear my thoughts and spend time with me. He began to show me miracles and a wisdom that was from God. I'll admit to you that when you were born, I had no idea if I could be a father. I was afraid that I wouldn't be what you needed or deserved. God became my Abba, my daddy, and he gave me the things that I didn't get. And he will be your daddy too. And no matter how much I mess up and make mistakes, know that you have a perfect daddy in heaven. And even though you see me, you'll always have him. I will fail you, son. I've made mistakes, and I will disappoint you. I will make you feel as though you're alone, rejected, and hurt. I will at times not celebrate your gifts and only criticize your faults. This is not my intention. It's really not. But in these times, I want you to invite your Abba, your perfect father. I promise you, he'll show up. I know what it's like to survive, to harden my heart in order to live, and I don't want you to follow this path. Be aware when that feeling shows up. It's only trying to steal from you the wonderful gift you are to this world. I know what it's like to feel that you overthink everything and that something may be wrong with you, but that's the way God designed you, and you are brilliant. You will solve many problems in this world, and you have a unique purpose for everything God gave you. Remember, no amount of money or accomplishment will ever fulfill you. So I ask that you chase purpose. Living a life of meaning, this will lead to fulfillment. Use your creativity to glorify God. And as God continues to bless you, never forget him or what he's blessed you with. It's for others. Your life is not meant for yourself. If you can grab a hold of this, you will be more happy and fulfilled than anything this world can give you. Be easy on yourself, son. Learn to love yourself. And see yourself the way God sees you. Use your voice. It's powerful. And you will bring about change in others. I love you, son. And I have no doubt that even while we may differ, you'll always be a success. And you'll always be my son. Love your father.
As we close out 2019, this is a great opportunity to leave some stuff back in this year and to make a commitment that you're going to protect your testimony, that you're going to go into 2020 not just turning over a new leaf, not just, you know, making a commitment to do better, making a commitment to God, that you're going to build your testimony, which in turn, it's going to help you build your legacy. It's going to pass something off to your kids that they can be proud of. Man, this was powerful. You single people, hearing from Emily, do that. God's going to honor your sacrifice. Parents, the kids are worth it. Single parents, you're paying a price but it's worth it. Let's stand on our feet. And maybe you're here today, and in the last service of 2019, you're ready to get things right with the Lord. You're ready to say, okay, God, I got to quit playing games. I got to start living to protect my testimony. I got to start living with evidence that you exist in my life. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I want to start fresh this Sunday. I want you to just slip up a hand. Just slip up a hand. Yeah, I see that. I see that. I see that. Why don't you do one other thing? Just come to the front right now. Let's make this official. If you raise your hand, just begin to come to the front. Let's give them a good God bless you as they come. There's no greater time. No greater time to turn things around. No greater time to finally go, man, I got to get real. Quit making excuses. There's too much at stake, guys. There's too much at stake. It's not just about you. It's about your kids. It's about your future. We're going to pray a prayer right now. We're going to leave the mistakes behind. Man, this is what's so powerful about being a Christian when you do this thing right. Grace is there. Grace covers. It's not to be stepped on and trampled on and taken advantage and used as an excuse. No, but when you need it, it is there. It makes no sense to run from God when running to Him will only produce grace, mercy, strength, and life. Now, I want us in this place all to pray this prayer with these that are up here today. And you that are up here at this altar, all you got to do is, the Bible says, mean this prayer from your heart. And as you pray it, God's going to come. He's going to honor your commitment. And He's going to help you live this thing out as we go into 2020. And we're going to build your legacy for you and your kids. Let's all pray this together. Say, Jesus, I need you. I'm not perfect. I've made a lot of mistakes. But I heard your word today. And I know this is about more than just me. I will overcome the enemy through your blood and the word of my testimony. But Lord, I need you. Forgive me and give me another chance. I repent from those ways, from those bad decisions. And I ask you to help me live for you. I leave my excuses in 2019 and I step into 2020 with new hope, new expectation that my life is going to elevate in Jesus' name. Now just keep your eyes closed for a moment as the Holy Spirit just comes, washes away every stain, every bit of pain. Prayer team, if you would come and help me, just pray with these that are up here right now. As He comes right now and just takes away every bit of shame, He gives you beauty for ashes, forgiveness, and a fresh start.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.